Hey, everybody, you're listening to Engaging Walk Podcast. Today is the 22nd of October, and I'm your host, Drake. All right, thank you guys for tuning in to Engaging Walk. So today, we're going to be talking a lot about family culture. And for those of you who are either new or have been longtime listeners for the last couple of years or so that we've been doing this podcast is all about family time. It's about going on an engaging walk with your partner. So you and your wife or you and your husband, whoever's listening, you have to start planning or engaging each other in engaging walks. And a lot of recent research actually has shown, has given a lot of credence to what this podcast is all about, which is that time of going out and going on a walk together, doing something together, outdoors, engages the couple in a way that is unlike something that you can experience at home. And of course, there's a lot of great things you can do at home, a lot of bonding and things that can happen at home that can increase your bond and increase your connection like no other. But there's also no substitute for being able to go out together and enjoy that family time of doing new things, seeing new places, going on walks together, and engaging each other in an engaging conversation. That's what engaging walk is all about. Now, when we first started this podcast, my wife and I, she's busy with the baby right now. My wife and I were just each other. And then at a certain point, we got a dog. We got married. We were just getting used to life together. And then at a certain point, we got a dog. After that, we had a baby. And then during that pregnancy time that we've documented a little bit about that on this podcast, and then also for the last like 6 months or so that we've been getting used to being new parents for the first time. And it's a lot. It's a lot of work to maintain that engaging walk mentality of like going out together, going on, whether it be a date night or just going out for a walk or going to a local coffee shop and engaging in a conversation that's meaningful. I mean, like right now we've been talking a lot about the election because it's just been so crazy and mind-boggling, and there's just so many really interesting and crazy things that have been happening surrounding that election. But we also talk about a lot of like big ideas about like vision for the country and vision for how that vision for the country translates to vision for our family. And what role does our family play in the future of our country? And then what role do our children play in that future? And how do we best prepare them for that? Well, right now it's just one child, but we obviously and have talked about before that we plan to have more. So there's a lot of topics to be on the same page about in our relationship between my wife and I. There's a lot of issues in terms of like how do we raise our child? Like what things are good for diet? Like what sort of example do we want to set for discipline? I'm not talking about like, you know, discipline. I'm talking about discipline in the general sense of like how do we exhibit that discipline in our own lives as parents to show, hey, we live a disciplined life of, you know, and then in our family, our main things are we follow the four F's that we strive to make new meaningful benchmarks or achievements, milestones in the four areas of finance, faith, family, and fitness. So we have our fitness goals, we have our family goals, we have our finance goals, and we have our goals in terms of faith. And family goals are some of the most important ones, but also faith. And none of that means anything if we're not fit and we're not financially secure. So we could probably do an episode about those four F's. I know we have to catch up on the five C's of connection, but there's just like so many different things that we want to talk about before we finish up that series. So that'll definitely be coming up for those of you who've been paying attention to that. But we also want to get into some books that we've been reading about child rearing and parenting for those of you out there that we can give our interpretation and our like own editorial view of that book, of these books that we've been reading about parenting. Okay, so getting back to this idea of vision. So how does this vision of the, just like how political candidates, the presidential candidates right now, their whole thing is messaging. Their whole thing is, this is what I want to do for the country. This is why I'm running. This is what I want to do day in and day out to make your lives better, or to make the country more secure, or to make the country more financially stable, more financially secure. These are the policies that I have to put in place. These are the people that I'm going to have by my side to help me implement and execute my agenda. So just like on a grand scale, the household is the same thing, but on a small scale. And we have to take, as parents and husbands and wives, we have to take that by the reins. And it's really difficult. We can always find ourselves falling into a mundane routine of, you know, we come home, we have dinner, do the dishes, wash up, you know, go to bed. And that can get really monotonous, and that can get really tiresome. And we've got to break that up. So I know that this was happening with us, especially with the newborn. And it's just like you get into this routine, and getting in routine is good because it means that you're setting up a routine, which is great for a baby, great for the family. But you also need some things that break up that routine, and then new things to be added into the routine to make it more robust and to make sure that your goals are being taken care of. Again, like if you're lacking in fitness, which I definitely am. And, you know, how do we add more into the fitness schedule? What does our schedule look like and maximizing that time? I heard like Steve Harvey say something really interesting where he said, rich people don't sleep. So, you know, that was motivation for me to hear that, like, you know, sometimes we're going to have to sacrifice sleep. Sometimes we're going to have to sacrifice that personal time in order to achieve those family goals and those and to really cement our family values. That's something that I've been thinking about a lot lately. And a lot of this came to mind when recently we had a trip that we took to for vacation, because we've been working really hard throughout the pregnancy. We've been working really hard with having family come visit to see the new baby on my side and on her mother's side. You know, a lot of visitors and staying with us long term, which is an adjustment for introverts like Ruby and myself. But once we got through that, we were like, okay, well, it's time for a vacation. We went to a vacation, and it was sort of eye-opening that living in Southern California, that we haven't taken advantage of the amazing beaches, the amazing scenery and parks that we can go to regularly, that some of them are just a 30 to 1 hour drive away, places that people would vacation to. And we could vacation there for, you know, very little money. And that's one of the benefits of living in a state like California, and especially in a city like San Diego. So just being able to do like a staycation and, you know, for 4 or 5 days was a really eye-opening experience, and really changed the way that we had engaged in each and every single one of the subsequent weekends that we had since then. So this was back in, I want to say, July or August. I think it was August, actually. So every single weekend after that, we were like, okay, well, Saturday's coming up. Let's have something fun planned. Let's do what we got to do throughout the week. And, you know, cleaning the house, you know, being on top of finances, you know, meal prepping. You know, of course, all these things we can do a better job at. You know, praying, reading the Bible, all those things. And once the weekend comes around, we have something really great planned for Friday and Saturday night or throughout the weekend. And then like long weekends, like we had recently had one for, I think it was Indigenous People. No, I'm sorry, not it was Columbus Day. No, Indigenous People / Columbus Day. But I prefer to use Columbus Day. And I went through a period of time where I was like, oh, Indigenous Peoples Day. But I've heard a lot of arguments recently that kind of just make it really sound silly that we would celebrate something like so vague. But that's neither here nor there. Anyways, moving on to the actual substance and the topic for today. So how does this play into our family vision? How does this play into our family values? And what sort of benefits do we have if we have a family vision and we have these family values that we want to instill in our child? All of this speaks to family culture. What is our family culture? Our family culture is something that we might, that Ruby and I have written down. It's very personal, but I can kind of summarize it in the sense that going back to those five, those four F's, that we strive to achieve discipline and milestones in those four areas. And those four areas are very important to us. And certain things are going to happen along the way that kind of derail, or at least attempt to derail, what your family culture is. And I'll give you a little, a small example. Ruby and I had recently been dealing with this idea of introducing foods to our baby. She's 6 months old, but she's right around that time where we need to start introducing to her to you know, foods that she can kind of like just like munch on. Some of it is just more for her to be able to utilize her hands and to gain her fine and gross like motor skills in her hands. Some of it is for nutrition, and then some of it is to get her to be able to taste different, you know, different types of tastes, sour things, sweet, savory. But in addition to the nutritional values, it's also like a lot of like different textures for her. So it was around that time that we were getting ready to do this that I was listening to a lot of different podcasts about the importance of going to, in terms of like nutritional value and other things, of going into more of an organic food based grocery, going more towards those groceries. The next time that we went to Costco, I was like, well, let me see what they have for organic food at Costco. And they had quite a bit. So I was like, okay, well, it's not that much more expensive. It's definitely more expensive, but it's not that much more expensive. And if the nutritional value of the food is better, which it is, and the taste is better, which it is, and we're more, you know, if we can be diligent about making sure that the food doesn't go to waste, i.e., we're not eating out too often, that we're, you know, buying this food and we're actually utilizing it and none of it's going to waste and we use it for different things, then, you know, for example, like getting organic flour, like we can, and then organic yeast, we've been able to use those items to make our own pizza dough at home. And that, although the organic food is more expensive, in the long run, it's cheaper if we approach it as such that we're not eating out as often, that we're being very diligent on making sure that all the food gets used. And this all speaks to our family culture, right? Because now we have these new meals that we have set up for our child, and we're showing her along the way that, hey, this family cares about food. We care about what we put into our body. We care about our fitness. We care about our faith. We care about the family, you know, and we care about our finances. And this whole culture that we have about like how we approach food and how we approach food in our home speaks to all four of those aspects of our family culture. Someone tried to get in the way. And in a playful way, it wasn't like, you know, malicious or malevolent. And it was actually my mom. So we were talking about this with my mom. And we were, you know, this is my daughter's grandmother. And we're talking to her about how, you know, we have this vision for, you know, making sure that my daughter has access to really healthy organic foods. And that's only the foods that we're going to introduce her to. And those are and we want her to have a great relationship with food and know where her food comes from and know how to cook, clean, prepare the food, do the dishes, and really just like understand food. She was like, okay, but like what happens if she wants to go to McDonald's? I told her a story. I was like, you know, I remember watching this documentary, which is true. Well, I don't know if it was a documentary or maybe it was a video, YouTube reel or something like that, about Japanese students. And an American or British reporter was asking the students, or maybe a teacher, was asking the students about, like, hey, what is your favorite foods? And she was really surprised that the Japanese kids were like, I like fish. I like rice. I like cucumber. Oh, broccoli is my favorite. And she was like, they like really healthy foods, she said to the other teacher. And she was like, oh, yeah. Well, yeah, all those foods are healthy. They're good for you. And they taste good. And she was like, I'm not used to that. Like in America, kids say things like chicken nuggets or, you know, burger or, you know, cereal, different things like that. And she was like, well, we just don't feed them those things. They only eat healthy foods. So that's why they like them. That's the only thing that they eat. And she was like, oh, wow, that's just such a simple but profound way to approach that problem. That, you know, that's just like, and if we teach our children, like, hey, these foods are good, they taste good, they can be prepared in such a way that, you know, you add a little bit of, you know, seasoning, you add a little bit of butter, you know, grass-fed butter, you add nice things to it that make it taste better and complement each other, like, and especially like in a really nice salad or things like that, that you can give them a good, healthy relationship with food from the beginning. And then I told my mom, well, I was like, well, we're going to teach her that no matter if we're there or not, that she's only to eat good food. And if we teach her in a good way, in a great way that gives her a sense of belonging towards the food and a sense of understanding about food, you know, making it, preparing it, et cetera, all the things that we just discussed, that she won't have that desire to even have McDonald's, that she will have a better burger at home, or that she could even make a better burger for herself. And that is what's important to us and how we want to raise her. And she was like, oh, but, you know, I want to feed her McDonald's. And then, you know, she hopefully she doesn't tell on me. And I was like, okay, you know, I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt that she was just like kind of like playing around, that she wouldn't actually do something like that. And I love my mom. She's great. You know, we've had a rocky relationship in the past, but you know, she's great. She's made up for a lot of that. But you know, some people, you know, just want to do things their own way. And maybe that's what she was kind of saying. It was like, if I have, you know, the day or the afternoon with her, or I want to treat her to that, and then you're just not going to know about it. But that runs congruent to our family culture, especially the family culture that we're developing now and that my wife and I have been diligently developing. And by the time that she's old enough where she can really participate in that family culture, we really hope that it sticks with her. So kind of like to wrap this all up, this all started from a family vacation. So the golden median, or the golden mean, however I think Aristotle described it, is like somewhere in the middle of those two ends of the extreme, right? On one end of the extreme, you can't go out vacationing every time, like every weekend, and you can't go too long without vacationing because like you're afraid of like financial, you know, things, like it's too expensive. Like you can find like cheaper ways to vacation, but it is really important to vacation and have that family time together because one, you're making really profound and great memories and you're using that money in a great way to build those experiences with your family. But it also can give you motivation to up your life and to take on new hobbies, take on new things that can really bring you as an individual, but also your family to a new level. And that's what going on an engaging walk in Dana Point did for me and Ruby and our family, that really has changed the way that we maximize and take control and utilize our weekends to the point where we have really exciting and really great things to do all the time. Oh, I wouldn't say all the time, but at least every weekend. Okay, so with that, we're wrapping up today's episode. We'll see you guys next week. Haven't really decided yet if we're going to continue on with the five C's of connection, or talk about some other topic that is, relevant to today, maybe even with the election, but who knows? All right. Well, we'll see you guys next time. Take care. Bye-bye.